We're here at the Carbon Matters Conference at the Eden Project on Tuesday, the 11th October 2011. This conference is telling business that it's no longer business as usual. Paul Holmes is behind setting it up. He's the Sustainable Business Development Manager for the Eden Project.
Every time you look at resource efficiency or energy or population growth, actually, we just need to lighten our footprint. And I think again and again we've heard today at Carbon Matters, people at the top of their game explaining that actually we can't carry on as we are, and it's actually very exciting to start change. And the analogy I've used, of course, on many times is the computer. When that first came in the mid-80s, that had a radical change in the way that we did business. It didn't happen overnight, it took us a long time, but actually, look, think of all the businesses and services that now rely on the computer and the internet for their day-to-day operation.
One of the main speakers at Carbon Matters was Mike Berners-Lee, founding director of Small World Consulting and also brother of Tim Berners-Lee, inventor of the internet. Now, he's an expert in carbon metrics and responses to climate change. Mike told us about the inspirations for his book, How Bad Are Bananas?
The thing about carbon is that it is very complex and we can't see it most of the time. Most of the time, the carbon emissions that are behind things that we buy and do don't take place in front of our eyes. They take place in a whole load of different places around the world over a period of time in a way that it's very hard to understand, very hard to add up. And even when we have added them up, it's still very hard to have an emotional response to them because it's so abstract. So the book is all about trying to get beyond that. And we as a race, we all need to get to the point at which we understand how carbon works in global society.
Nick McBreen from Worldwide Financial Planning. As an independent advisor, I've been interested in how businesses and individuals manage their money and their businesses with a view to the social impact and the environmental impact of what they do. I think it's just a starting point for businesses to look at the way that they invest and use their money, and I think it's a huge opportunity for them to look at how they structure their businesses, how they work with their employees, and investment underlies so many things, and how they hold their money, who looks after it. There's lots of opportunities for them to benefit from events like today.
Eden Project founder Tim Smith addressed the conference by video.
I'm afraid I'm not with you, which is a great disappointment to me because I really wanted to be here because I think this is a really important conference. And the reason it's important is because for a long, long time the debate about carbon has been a very middle-aged male debate about measuring things as opposed to the philosophical proposition that we're at a cusp in the development of our society and the way we look at consumption. And that is why we're facing a world that is full of opportunity and changes of which we can only barely imagine. I mean, I go back to 1998 when we bought the pit that you'll see out of the window here. The very week that we bought it, Google went public. Who was to imagine that that would become a phrase or all the functions and things that we have now taken for granted that we see emerging literally week by week, not even month by month? For me and for many of my colleagues here at Eden, carbon matters is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for not just an approach to climate change, global warming and so on. It is actually to do with a real transformational moment in our history where we're looking at consumption in different ways. And I think why it's important for everybody to be here today is A, the fact that you're here demonstrates that you are part of a challenger economy. You've bothered to turn up to talk about change. Singles you out. But the second most important thing is that we're discovering with some of the work that we do with, for example, Green Foundation, that the old competitive models can actually be transformed to have businesses working with businesses in collaborative form to make their, if you like, their base case, their overheads come down radically because they share an awful lot of resources.
My name is Deborah Gristwood and I'm from a company called Sustainable Furniture. And I've come along to this conference as a sort of follow-on to the Green Foundation course that I did with Eden a few months ago, because I think especially Cornwall has a lot of small businesses and we're going to have to take responsibility for this, while the bigger companies are going to have to take responsibility for it further up.
One very topical update that came to the conference was from Sean McCarthy. Now, he is from the Commission for a Sustainable London 2012, and he told the conference how he's preparing for the Olympic Games.
This is about the legacy of learning. For me, because one thing that we have insisted on and we've driven very hard is to say, look, London 2012, you need to share what you've learned. And in late October 2011, the ODA will be launching their Learning Legacy website. So all of the lessons learned will be up there, from quite simple case studies, many of the tools that they use to deliver on low carbon construction. There's also some academic papers as well, and some kind of deep thinking learning legacy things that will be up there as well. So do use that information and be inspired. The Games are doing some fantastic stuff. Businesses in all parts of the country and indeed in all parts of the world can learn from it and prosper.
So an update on the legacy that's going to come from the 2012 Games. Also there was David Wathy. Now, David is Head of Sustainable Procurement in the Department of Health, with a remit for policy and guidance on sustainable procurement in the NHS. David's worked in the area of sustainable development for over 10 years and currently leads the Procuring for Carbon Reduction, P4CR, project under the NHS National QIPP programme.
Our experience in the NHS, certainly as we've started to try to take down to operational levels the concept of how we can reduce carbon, what we do come across is that people have a high level understanding, a broad understanding of the sort of concepts and principles, but to actually engage with confidence, with whether it be with suppliers or chief executives, directors of finance on the issue, they really need to have a much stronger grasp of some of the terminology, some of the core principles, and also some of the techniques on how to manage carbon, so they can not only make the business case for taking action, but also articulate what some of that action might look like.
Now, there are some very complex issues as well as some straightforward ones. I mean, such as Scope 3, for instance. How difficult is it to explain some of these things, such as Scope 3?
It's challenging. I think, again, if you're talking at a sort of a broad principle level, I mean, in very general terms, Scope 3 emissions includes the carbon emissions related to the extraction of raw materials, the processing of those raw materials into something that we can use in manufacturing, manufacturing and assembly, distribution, storage, and also includes emissions related to the disposal of a product at the end of its life. So I think in that sort of broad context, I think it's relatively easy to explain what is included within Scope 3 emissions. But what becomes more challenging is when people, again, actually start to try to apply it and take even maybe something that seems quite simple, like a paper hand towel or a scalpel or something like that, to actually start to say, well, okay, but how do we get that data about carbon emissions? You know, this may be have 30 or 40 different steps in the supply chain, different organisations going right back into, you know, some of the developing economies like India and China. So actually getting hold of that information and understanding, you know, what is the embedded carbon of a piece of steel or a piece of paper, you know, can be quite challenging for people. And I think even some of the experts in the room today would testify to that fact, that, you know, when you actually start to dig into the detail, it can become much more challenging.
So the Carbon Matters Conference has been told about all of the legislation that's been put in place over the years to make people more aware of their carbon footprint and how carbon relates to their business. Now, one of the people who's critical of all of this legislation is Ross Harling. He's the founder and managing director of Nature Paint. Ross is an economist by training and a leader in innovation and improvement by vocation. Now, he's got this message for government.
When we started several years ago looking at our particular carbon journey, we could find very little interest from the government bodies, people like DEFRA, people like the DTI. Carbon wasn't on the agenda. Over the past few years, it's become on the agenda. And now we're being swamped with regulations and legislation and new initiatives. And that's becoming a burden in itself for companies that simply want to make their products and businesses environmentally more sustainable.
But isn't the big stick the way to get people to do stuff in business?
Yes, one can threaten, one can fine, and that will cause behavioural change. But the real attraction for entrepreneurs comes from making products that are successful. And there aren't regulations that will help companies be successful with their markets and with their customers.
So if there wasn't all this legislation in place, what sort of things would you suggest to ministers to think about doing to offer the carrot approach to businesses?
There's a good example in the way that Germany, 30 years ago, implemented product emission controls to bring down the environmental impact of consumer products, things like toiletries, furnishings, decorating paints. That's been around for a long time now. It's already saved the German climate from 40,000 tonnes of volatile organic chemicals. But it's spawned a new industry, it's made Germany the centre of eco-product export, and it's created competitive advantage. Down here in Cornwall, there's a small group of businesses like us where we can also create a competitive advantage for the UK, but we need regional and national government support to do that.
So what benefits has taking this whole carbon journey brought to your business?
It's been slow. We've been producing paint in Cornwall for 3 years, and I wouldn't say that we're out in terms of profitability yet. But as legislation has caught up in some of these areas, things like carbon accounting, people are beginning to sit up and take notice of newer low-carbon products, and it's becoming important to them. So that's a byproduct of the legislation in the public sector. But the last thing that small businesses need is to be fettered with more and more regulation.
And do you fear that this is going to be a continuing path of fettering businesses with regulation?
I think there's a new industry. I think there's a new industry for consulting. There's a new industry for accountants based around carbon as a topic, just like there was over efficiency and effectiveness and all these other things that we've seen in waves. The danger is that small companies will get swamped by this and not be able to see their path through the jungle.
So if you were going to make one plea to the ministers in charge of the forward path of the carbon programme, what would you say to them?
Put some clarity and consistency into it. Don't announce a green initiative 1 year and change it the following year. Give us consistency, give us clarity, give us clear, understandable standards that we can implement in our products and ensure the public and the rest of the world that UK and particularly Cornish products are meeting those kind of standards.
This has been a snapshot of some of the views, opinions and messages at the Carbon Matters conference at the Eden Project. If you want to find out more about carbon and how it matters to your business, then go to www.clearaboutcarbon.co.uk. The final words go to Clear About Carbon's Paul Holmes.
And I suppose in conclusion, let me just say, carbon isn't going to be an overnight revolution, no more so than computers were. But do you know, I'm old enough to have been there. I was there when the first computer arrived at work and nobody knew how to use it. We didn't even have a mouse. That came a few years later. I was there when the internet came in and companies were telling me, Paul, the internet's all very well, but it's never going to drive sales, is it? And I thought, no, you're probably right. And then came Google and Amazon and eBay. So things really changed. And the digital revolution, that's just begun. And, you know, we're going to see loads and loads of innovative things as a result of that. So there's a great opportunity for Cornwall to grasp the early mover advantage. Please go away, think about it, talk about your suppliers, talk to your suppliers about this, both upstream and downstream, and make sure they're aware, because actually we're all in this together. Thanks very much, everyone. Bye-bye.